and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast. We're two enthusiastic fangirls? I don't even want to know what that is. Fangirls return after a bit of a break, and I'm not sure if anyone noticed. I'm Alona, and I am joined for the show by the wonderful Hashtag.
Hello.
Hey, Hashtag, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Before we get to the before we get started spiel that we normally start with, a little bit of an announcement. Nothing stays the same forever. Hosts of Ascalon managed to go 2 happy years without any big bumps. Our bad slash sad news is there's no longer a Grumpy Pants contingent to Hosts of Ascalon. Without Hunter, this show would not have the name it does, many of the segments we try to cover, or the depth of knowledge of Guild Wars 2 mechanics. We're losing his signature style and delivery, and we will definitely miss him. So we wanted to say thanks to Hunter for helping to make Hosts of Ascalon what it has become. And we're definitely going to miss you.
Yes, very much.
And now, for the actual before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. We usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. HT, would you like to start us off?
Indubitably, I would. Yes, thank you. And dailies. I don't know where that came
you
from.
You turned into a squirrel?
I don't know. Dailies! All the dailies. I am so far behind on doing my dailies that when I log in, or when I've logged in the past couple of weeks, it's been that's been my first bit of attention getting my dailies done. And then things like for whatchamacallit, the holiday we just had in October, you know.
Halloween?
Halloween, thank you. doing the Halloween daily. So that's kind of been my focus, is keeping up on those daily and getting the 10 AP where I can, because I am right on the bottom fold, like right about to fall off of the first page of the guild when you rank us by AP, which, as we all know, my constant shame is that I am still below Frick. So I'm not going to catch up.
Breaks will do that for you.
I know. He's now over 1,000 ahead of me. So good on you, Frick. I'll catch you in 5 years. let's see. I've also, I've been working on, well, I just recently started working on Requiem armor. So I finished a few pieces. I don't know, Alona, have you done any of the steps towards working on that? So this was part of the Jahai Bluffs achievement set.
I think I have a few of them, like the boots and things like that. I think I have a couple of them. Gotcha. But I'm not done. I want to do more. I do not yet have them all.
Yeah, I'm in that spot too, where I want to do more, but it's slow going because each element that you add on becomes progressively more expensive. So sigils of nullification, man, they be expensive. And I know there's the whole crafting method now, but that's not cheap either, and it's complicated. And poor Zero has very, very patiently explained it to me like 5 times, and I, you know, it's like one step forward, 2 steps back. But I did make leggings last week, so I was pretty happy about that. Getting through it very slowly. And I've been doing a bunch of beetle races and trying
to... Have you done all of them?
I have, yes and no. So I mean, it depends on what you mean by done. I've done all of the races. Like, I've done the races. I'm not done with the races.
I feel like there might be some I've not even done at all.
Oh, really? Still.
I think.
So there's maybe 5. There's Diessa.
I've done like 4 of them.
Diessa. Mount Maelstrom. The Brisbane. And then Snowden. And then the other one.
the other
one.
I think that's one I haven't done.
isn't it Kessex? Maybe? I don't know. Oh, there's the Queensdale, like the mini one, right? Like the first starter one.
Oh, right. You also know I have done them all. I forgot about that one because it was so wee.
Yeah, it was
so tiny.
I remember I was on when you did that first one and you were like, oh, I got gold.
Like second try. I'm like, oh, who knew I was so awesome at this?
I'm pretty good at this.
This is the baby track.
So anyway, I've done enough of it that I have the racing scarf. I have not gotten gold on all of the tracks, and I highly doubt I will get gold on all the tracks. So I'm pretty happy with my minor scarf.
Now, you like, okay, so as was discovered when Beetle Racing came out, I don't use strafing at all. When I play the game, and so I actually had to set up strafe keys again to do the Beetle Racing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I did not, drifting was lost on me until this point. I had no idea how people were doing it.
Gotcha. Yeah. I feel like if their mission, if ArenaNet's mission here was to get more people on the Beetle and more people using the Beetle properly, definitely mission accomplished, because I'm using the drifting more effectively now. I would not say that I am good at it, but I certainly can do it. So that's cool. And
so the first, oh, sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, the first night that the Beetle races were available, and of course we're all on there trying to experience them, and after like one or two races I'm like, okay, I've already doubled the amount of time I've spent on a Beetle.
Alona was hilarious too, because she'd be like, all right, one more time, one more time.
Just I got time for one more.
I also updated Hash's look to celebrate Winter's Day with a festive outfit. So I currently am sporting some red, white, and green, and green hair. So fun look. Yeah. I've been holding on to these makeover kits for quite a while, and been thinking, like, surely this month new hairstyles will be released for Asura. And surely, yet again, there are no new hairstyles. So I've decided to be less precious with my makeover kits and just enjoy them. So I decided to go for the new look for the holidays. And lastly, last night I finished all of the Snowman raid achievos. So this is the only raid that I will ever finish all the achievos for. I want that very clear.
I never checked to see if I got them all done.
Well, I went on last night with Spirit late at night, and she was putting together a group to go do it. And she put out the call to Relic Savor to see who would join her. And a couple of us did. And then we ended up joining with another group in the LFG, and we completed it fairly quickly. And what was nice is once you're in the zone, you can complete most of the achievements at your leisure. So the throwing snowballs at the heart, you can just do that at the end.
I did get that one.
And then there's the one where you had to find the skeleton in a cave. I think that's,
so we got those two.
So you must have them.
Oh, okay. This might be a really stupid discovery, but I realized that if you just hold your special action key down, you fire three.
Yep.
I was hitting, and then, like, I was waiting for cooldowns, I guess.
Oh, no.
So I hit, and then go away, and then hit. And then once I realized you can just, like, bang, 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 and then get more. Bang, bang, bang. It was much faster.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I've been up to. Alona, what have you been doing?
Well, again, I haven't been on a huge amount in the last few months, but I did do the Beetle racing, as we've talked about. I am actually really enjoying the Beetle now, and surprised how. So I did the Winter's Day race in Divinity's Reach on a Raptor, and I was surprised how slow it felt. And I remember thinking, whoa, Raptor, so fast. It's by far the best one to race on.
Wow.
And No, Beetle is way, way faster.
Wait, so is this like the new power creep? It's the speed creep? Like, now we're going to need something that's even faster than the Beetle.
I think we'd see through time. I don't think going any faster would be good, actually.
I agree.
There's like complete, like, that would be ludicrous speed is really what that would get down to. But the races, I'm super enjoying the Beetle races. I'm trying not to cram them in. Like, I'm trying to do them. I know there's the dailies, but there's always so many. Like, now we have Winter's Day dailies, and right. We have Beetle racing dailies, and we have regular dailies. So I'm trying not to go bonkers on them. I want to enjoy them. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worrying about the daily ones for the Beetle racing. But I do really, really like them. I'm quite enjoying.
Yes.
And it's made me way more comfortable on the roller Beetle.
Right. And besides the fact that the daily Beetles are only around for till the end of the month, right?
Yeah.
I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's good.
So I've been trying not to like get too hyper-focused on those. There was earlier in the week, a bunch of us were on. We actually kind of played through guild missions by accident. So a few of the guildies were on and we got together and we did a bunch of stuff in some of the newer maps in Alona. So we did I actually finished a zone which I hadn't completed yet. And not one of the newest ones. Like, which one was it? It was with Korna. The laggy area.
It was Domain of Korna, right?
And I was shocked. There was like a vista at the Astralarium that I didn't have, and I am like stunned. Like, how did I not have that?
I really don't understand that one, because we were with you that first night. I remember being in that zone, and I remember being at the Astral Area and like doing the heart together. So I'm really surprised.
I don't even know. Unless I did it on an alternate character with you. Mm. Oh, Domain of Istan. Zero's telling
us. Oh, Istan. Yeah.
Yeah. So got that. I was also really close, but hadn't completed the Roller Beetle Mastery. So we were there doing dailies in the new zones just to get the XP to do that. And there is, I think, Panther also needed it completed. So it wasn't just me.
Wasn't just you.
Yeah. So that's done. Mm-hmm. And I ticked over the edge by feeding my raptor a treat. That's how close I'm. Like, it was super close. I'm like,
I feel like that's oddly appropriate for you. Like, that just, it just fits.
So, and of course, Winter's Day dropped yesterday for 2018, and I played it before reset and then after reset, and we did, like, I did the races and I did like two sets of the dailies and the, of course, the mini raid, the snowman lair, secret lair of the snowman,
right?
And I feel like I did so much winter dazing yesterday that it's like I've been playing it for weeks already. Like, it doesn't feel like just it was yesterday.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
I'm in. So I think that's about it. I've been trying to work on a few achievements, trying to keep track of what I want to work on. I need to get a better way of keeping track of those.
Yeah.
I still don't have it yet.
We'll figure it out eventually. Yeah.
But that's all I've been up to.
All right. And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up, a message from Mike Zadorozhny. I never say that right. Is that right? Mike Z.
I would have said Mike Zadorozhny, but I think when he was on Guild Chat, he said it slightly different. So I might not be saying it right either.
Mike Z, Guild Wars 2 game director, and he said, "Hey everyone, as some of you already have put together, episode 5 will not be released this year. As the episode was coming together and we started to plot out its release, we had to make a tough call regarding its ship date for reasons that have to do both with other in-game content and with the way we treat our teams. As the calendar year winds down, we want to enjoy the revelry of the Winter's Day holiday with you, while also ensuring that team members can spend the holidays relaxing with their family and friends. We'll soon be able to share details of what is to come, so stay tuned." I think this is great.
Yep.
I think they did a good job of getting ahead of any questions or rumors. And I think from what I've heard of the community, everybody seems really supportive of the idea of, you know, Guild Wars 2 or ArenaNet looking out for their people.
Yeah, making sure that they also deserve a holiday.
They do. And with these events, you know, with these holidays, I'm sure there's a lot of, it seems to us probably like, you know, oh, this is a recurring thing that happens every year. It's not, they just switch it on, but I'm sure it's not that simple. And I'm sure there's bugs that conflict with new content and things that they're, you know, they're on high alert for all those sorts of things. So it's good that they get to.
All game development is just requires flipping a switch.
Right?
All it's development.
Not that hard. Come on. All right, moving on. Winter's Day, running from December 11th until January 2nd, 2019. Come join us in celebrating Winter's Day. Toymaker Tix has made his annual visit to Divinity's Reach to spread seasonal cheer and festivity through a variety of activities. Complete daily achievements to earn fanciful holiday weapons, give the orphans of Divinity's Reach wrapped gifts, test your snow-throwing skills in Snowball Mayhem, experience the joy of jumping in with us. Appreciate. I don't know where that word came from.
I do appreciate it.
I do. Experience the joy of jumping in Winter Wonderland, defend against waves of toys and Toypocalypse, and help keep Tix's airship, the Infinerarium, in order. Winter's Day gifts will also be appearing all around Tyria during the festivities.
Oh, wait a minute. We also, both of us, well, a bunch of us, but you and I both did the jumping puzzle a few times.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so a few times. I want to be clear that, I mean, Alona did the jumping puzzle a few times. I did, like, on my way up to the jumping puzzle a few times, as in, like, wow. I got there once.
I was on open mic during this, and you heard me running off edges a bunch. Like, I didn't even hit the space bar. I don't even know what I was thinking there. I just wanted to do a quick note about the jumping puzzle. If you missed last year's, they changed how the paths run. So it used to be like there were the three different paths and they had slightly different routes. Now they are kind of Quaggan is the baby level, and I don't think the snowflakes ever go away.
Right.
And then is it the gingerbread or snowman, whichever is the middle one, you have a bit more time. The snowflakes will disappear eventually, but the path on the far end,
on the left,
yes, it those snowflakes are
tough.
They're mean. They don't last long, and it's upsetting to me because that was the path I memorized, and I still can't do it fast enough for that path. So I just want to throw that out there if anyone's listening who was not playing last year for Winter's Day but had played previous ones.
Very good. And Zero is reporting in that Snowman is mid and Gingerbread is the hard one on the left.
Betrayed by Gingerbread.
Yes. I no shame. I do the Quaggan path. So. All right. Meanwhile, beneath the snowy hills of the distant north, an icy-hearted tyrant stirs as the weather chills. A new holiday mission has been revealed, the secret lair of the snowmen. Gather a squad of allies and beat Snowman Cobb in Divinity's Reach to journey into the north. Discover the truth behind the snowmen's long absence and bring the spirit of Winter's Day back to its oldest defenders. It's a little bleak. I mean, this makes it sound like, gather your friends and we'll go on a snowman journey. But the story is a little...
I had a hard time following the story. I probably just read the wiki page with the dialogue to get a better idea of it. But
yeah, I mean, I guess if you think about like Mad King and all that, like there's a lot of kind of bleak, weird stuff in these festivals. But
you think Winter's Day might not be among them?
Maybe. So a meta achievement has been added for the annual Winter's Day achievements. Complete a set of achievements to earn a frosty new mini. Ooh. Mm-hmm. To prevent players from loading into instances that no longer have playable songs. What?
Right?
A free place. You... What? I didn't even realize this. I played it yesterday. I tweeted that.
Did you not see
it? No, I didn't. Oh my goodness. Okay,
I was super excited.
The free play section has been removed from the Bell Choir, which is fantastic. I logged in and I failed
my
first
time for that.
Two songs last night because I forgot that the keys are 1, 2, 3, 4 and then 6, 7, 8, 9. I had 1, 2, 3, 4 and then 5, 6, 7, 8.
Ooh,
and
so you did half good, half bad.
So I'm on it and I'm like, dang it, I'm hitting the keys. Why? I'm not bad at this. Normally I get a perfect score. What's wrong with me? What's happening this year? And then
la-di-da, yeah, perfect score.
Oh, and then I figured it out. And yeah, so had a nice humbling start to my Bell Choir journey.
Do you have a favorite middle?
Lower, I feel like lower is the easiest if you're going for perfect. But that's my lower favorite. Yes, but it's also less notes, and I'm trying to get the 1000 note achievement. So I was trying to go for middle or upper when I was playing last night. And I know I'll get the achievement pretty quickly because Bell Choir is actually my preferred way of farming gifts. So
middle's the hardest though.
Yeah, I would say that's true. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like you have to really mess up to get knocked off, or, you know, just be hitting the wrong keys. Never mind.
Me and middle aren't friends.
Really?
No.
All right. Well, you can raid and I can't, so we're all even. You can jump on the jumping puzzle.
I feel like people are very kind to me in raiding.
All right, moving on. So festive portals and gift-bearing trees have been added to each capital city to increase access to the Infinerarium in Divinity's Reach. That's a very good move. Fixed a bug in which some players only had access to their normal skills for a short time in Winter Wonderland. I guess I missed that. Updated some repeatable achievements to now reward tradable Winter's Day gifts instead of account-bound gifts. Well, that's good. So you can sell them on the auction house. New items have been added to Winter's Day gifts, such as... Have you seen the new candy cane weapons?
Zero linked them to me, but then I had to restart my client and I didn't have the heart to ask him to relink them, so no, I haven't seen
them. I've only seen them on Dolphy. I haven't seen them out in the wild, but it's kind of fun. All right, so a festive category has been added under the Looking for Groups tab of the contacts and an LFG panel to help players find groups for seasonal content. And this is really great because you have, like, I Alona's laughing because I completely missed this last night. And I, you know, when I was looking for a group for the snowman raid, and I went onto the raid channel and I was like, why is nobody here doing the snowman raid? What is wrong with this? I completely missed the fact that there was a festival channel, but it's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the raid, but then there's also the Infinerarium and, you know, those sorts of activities. I wish, though, that you really could stay with your group and do the jumping puzzle together or
the
Bell Choir. You know, that wouldn't it be cool if you could, like, open your own instance of Bell Choir that is just you and your friends?
Ooh,
that would be cool.
Or the jumping puzzle.
Right? That would be a lot of fun.
Ooh, like a guild thing.
Yes, yes.
Ooh.
Mm. Oh. Obviously, ArenaNet should hire us as idea people.
That would be, well, I'm not even sure that would be overly helpful.
Not at all. Okay, 14 new guild emblems were created by ArenaNet's creative partners. And they have been added to the emblem design section of the Emblemer panel. And we're going to talk more about this later in the show.
Emblemer?
That's what it says.
It doesn't even sound like a real word.
I don't think it is. I think it's a joke. Fixed a bug in which the roller beetles boost effects would incorrectly flicker off. I want to say I experienced this, and this is what caused me to miss gold several times. No, I have no idea. It could have been happening. I don't know. Brisbane. Oh, and then these are the two big changes. Brisbane Wildlands. Ginormous.
Okay.
Adjusted the draw distance of a set of bushes to help players avoid them during roller beetle races. So if you haven't done Brisbane, it's a big race map. It's a longer, I think it might be the longest race. It takes a lot of time and you're kind of moseying around the
Maelstrom's
map.
Maelstrom's pretty big or pretty long too.
You're going all over the place. Feels pretty good. Like the path seems pretty intuitive. And then you're like tootling wrong. And then boom, you hit this bush. That's just right
smack
in the
way. Dab in the middle.
It's one of those things that you have to like remember that it's coming so you can move out of the way before you get there.
You would have had to remember.
Right. And then like, how often do you remember? Or at least me? No. I've seen quite a few friendly, like the type of people who would be mesmers portaling, you know, and they're standing on top of the bush with a guild with a commander's tag on, so you can see a faraway way and go, oh, thank you, yes, I will.
They're the heroes
around.
We deserve.
They
or
really
need,
are
not deserve.
Yes, and then the second change, also in Brisbane Wildlands, was a logging node was moved to prevent players from hitting it during roller beetle races. So this was right, I think it's like under a tree root that you kind of went under it. There was a logging node that would pop up, and I heard people would do things like try to switch maps to find a map that wouldn't have this logging node right there, because even if they cut the tree down, the stump would still hit. So
yeah,
people
stump.
And I mean, like, it didn't really affect me because I was never going to get gold. So, you know, I was usually spinning off somewhere wild anyway at this point.
Well, not with that attitude, you won't.
But I think it's it's good for the people who really, really need this and care about mm-hmm. it. So, good changes. And then for items, Superior Rune of the Zephyrite fixed the description of this rune to display its element type. Man, Alona, I was waiting for this change. I'm just so glad. No, I'm kidding. I
was actually with you. I thought, I'm like, wow, this must be a bigger deal than I thought.
I know nothing. Superior Rune of the Ice fixed a bug that caused the 6-piece bonus from this set to use a longer cooldown than the intended 10-second cooldown. Ooh.
How much longer? I want to know how much longer.
That's a pretty big bug. Mm-hmm. Superior Rune of Tormenting fixed a bug that caused the 4-piece bonus from this set to grant a 15% increased torment duration instead of the intended 20% increase. Oh, so it was not as good. So they're fixing it, so now it's better. I think it's so much... I mean, at first when I read it, I thought we were heading towards we're decreasing it to 10%. You know, it's always good when it's an increase. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Superior Rune of Evasion. This rune now has a 1-second cooldown in between swiftness applications. Ooh. And then there's
basically it had no cooldown before? Is that what that's implemented? Okay.
No idea. Mm. There's a list of items that can now be stacked, which include a bunch of like sigil bags, trophy bags, bags of obsidian and dragonite ore and that sort of thing. So those are the changes.
Mm-hmm. On to profession skills.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Two quick notes before we get into the balance patch notes. One, summaries are back. We're both super happy about that.
Oh, yes.
And yes. And two, we're really only going to go over ArenaNet's high-level rationale, i.e. summaries, for the balances with commentary where we feel qualified to give it. It's only been since yesterday, so I haven't had a lot of, like, playtime with these, so... but we're going to give a little shout out to a content creator not many people will have heard of, Wooden Potatoes. He, along with one of my favorite people, Bootsfur, have an amazingly extensive 3-hour YouTube video going over the minutiae of these changes. It's actually over 3 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Right? Like, that is dedication.
Is it of podcast quality? Like, you can listen to it, or is it really visual? Like, you'd have to watch 3 hours of content.
I find most of the videos, like WP's videos with or without Bootsfur, very listen friendly. That you don't need to actually see the screen for them over much.
I feel like 3 hours of listening is much more doable.
Now, they probably play around with some things where visuals could be handy in this. Like, I was going, confession, I started watching it or listening to it, but I wasn't able to finish it because it's 3 hours and I was at work.
Yeah.
But I'm going to watch it or listen to it for sure. So, two notes out of the way. Following up on the previous balance release, we're continuing to update weapon traits to offer more meaningful options when players are not using the related weapons, while also enhancing those weapons' playstyles if the player is using them. In particular, we updated a fair amount of warrior weapon traits and a few remaining traits in other professions. This update reworks all traits that react automatically to incoming control effects by applying control effects on the attacker. Traits that immediately punish players for successfully landing their skills, particularly when they're not very visible, teach the wrong things. The reworked traits are intended to encourage more active play and to provide new opportunities for the defender without outright punishing the attacker. In addition to crowd control trait reworks, this update also addresses traits that deal instant damage and how they affect the game. The large majority of these traits have had their base damage increased while removing their ability to critically hit in order to improve pacing and reduce time to kill in competitive game modes. Certain traits that serve as the main source of a build's damage in both PvE and competitive modes have been modified so that they require critical hits in order to deal maximum damage, giving conditions like weakness more value. And finally, we're making changes to encourage more variety in boon-based support builds. To start, we are opening up select skills for different professions that will allow them to share boons directly with up to 10 allies. In addition, we'll be reducing which boons, mesmers, and their specializations can apply, since Chronomancer is currently stifling other options due to its ability to easily apply all boons with Signet of Inspiration. Our goal here is to give value to different professions and specializations by making them all adept at applying specific boons to their allies so that multiple professions are needed in order to cover all boons.
Oh.
So now, that is a lot. That was a massive preamble to this.
It really was. And there's a lot to unpack there. I feel like we'll get into more of the specifics when we... as we get into the different professions, I feel like I understand all of those words, and I understand I understand the sentences, but then I don't understand the paragraphs, if that makes sense. Like, there's a lot to take in there, and I'm not quite sure that I figured it all out. So I do think that it is a case where maybe like a 3-hour video over time is what I need to parse all of this.
Could be useful.
Could be.
I also feel like hidden in between each of these paragraphs and perhaps even the summaries is, please don't hate us. Like, I feel that's kind of in there somewhere. Like, don't hate us.
Well, especially the last paragraph with the Chronomancer changes. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that when we get to that profession. But I mean, there's been a lot of, I don't even play, I don't play Chronomancer. I don't know all that, but I've heard grumbles. So let's get into the professions, shall we?
We shall.
All right. First up, Elementalist. In this update, there have been some modifications to Tempest Overloads to allow for 10 target applications of select boons. We've also made some quality of life changes for the Scepter weapon. Most of the instant damage traits have been standardized so that they do not critically hit, but electric discharge. will retain its full damage capability when it critically hits a foe.
When I was reading through some of these, it was like, I don't play Elementalist an awful lot, but it seemed to me when I was reading through this, Elementalist got a lot of love this balance patch. So I'm pretty interested. Like my Elementalist is a Tempest mostly. I may have made her a Weaver to try that out, but she is more of a Tempest. So I'm like, I'm pretty intrigued by some of these changes.
I like it because Elementalist is technically one of the like harder classes to play. So I like that they're trying to kind of build more interest in that.
On to Engineer. Scrapper has received a few updates with this release with the goal of dealing a bit more damage in the thick of battle. Final Salvo, the gyrocentric Grandmaster's trait, has been merged with the Master tier trait Expert Examination. Kinetic Stabilizers, a new and more opportunistic damage trait, takes its Grandmaster spot. Elixir U's Tool Belt skill was providing too much quickness, so it's been replaced with Group Super Speed. We also removed the auto-casting Elixir S from Emergency Elixir and replaced it with Elixir E, since we felt the instant full invulnerability granted by that trait was too powerful when compared to similar traits. The new Elixir E still grants strong defense in the form of Barrier on a lower cooldown, but gives aggressors more options for counterplay. And, yeah.
I feel like if I were an engineer and I was enjoying all of these nice, especially if I, especially for me, let's say like my play style. And if I, if I had really invested in engineer, I'm obviously not like the expert engineer player. And I'd be like, oh, at least I have this like little bit of a bonus that is helping me out because I need it. Not so much. And it's kind of one of those things where I feel like nobody can have any nice things because somebody's abusing it in WDub or PvP. But,
I mean, it's either they raise everyone else up,
yeah,
not nerfing anything, in which case things, again, ludicrous.
Right.
So I'm like, it's like, oh, but I had fun with that. Like, not that in this particular instance, that might not be the case for me. But yeah, you get to enjoy a certain type of play style, and when it's taken away from you, it can be hard.
Yeah, hard to adjust.
Yep.
All right, on to Guardian. A major goal for Guardian in this update was to give it a more solid flow of Firebrand combat in raid scenarios. This involved reducing some cooldowns, giving more access to group quickness and fury, and allowing stability to affect a full 10 allies. Wait. Wouldn't that, like, full 10 allies, that makes it sound like there's 11 people, right? Right? Like, you don't count yourself when you're talking about my allies.
Well, you can be your own ally. Right. Some people are their own worst enemy.
Oh, my gosh.
So why not?
All right.
Why not their
own? Next, access to tomes has been too high and allowed for little to no counterplay. To remedy this, we adjusted cooldown in the game modes we deemed problematic and tweaked some traits that automatically refreshed defensive virtues. Glacial Heart has had a larger rework based on adjustments made to both weapon and instant damage traits and will now directly affect the hammer weapon itself.
Yeah, when you're going through the patch notes, there's like, again, as much as there's these summaries, Glacial Heart itself has a fairly large description. And then below that, there is like four sub bullets. So there's certainly a lot to, but yeah, I haven't played. Do I play Hammer Guardian? No.
No, I don't think so.
Staff. So of course. We'll see. All right. Now on to the essay question. Mesmer. In this update, we've made changes to Signet of Inspiration and Mimic, two core skills in the current skill rotation for Chronomancers in raids. These are fairly significant changes with slightly different purposes, although both have been made to address the issue of stacking power multipliers. And hidden there is Don't Hate Us. Right in there.
Right. Yes. Yep.
The change to Mimic prevents it from being reset by the Chronomancer's Continuum Split skill. This is intended to prevent multiplicative power in the Mesmer's kit. We want Mimic to be a skill that allows for unique flexibility in Mesmer builds, but its double casting function created multiplicative power when combined with Continuum Split. This change also gave us the opportunity to give Mimic a scaling recharge time in order to make it more versatile for general play. Instead of the Mesmer sharing its own active boons with allies, we've changed Ignotive Inspiration to extend the duration of boons that are already on allies. Hmm. This is intended to put more emphasis on the Signet as a skill that augments other support skills rather than one that other support skills feed into. Neither of these changes are intended to alter the Chronomancer's identity as a build focused around quickness and alacrity. However, the power these two skills allowed Chronomancers made them a one-stop shop for every boon in the game, which was crowding out other potential roles in raid compositions. In order to reinforce this direction, we've also added quickness and alacrity enhancements to Wells. On a separate note, we've also reduced, like how this is just like an aside, like, oh. P.S. We've also reduced the power of Mirages in PvP in order to lower their burst damage. We want Mirages to excel in longer combat engagements, but their burst damage was just too high. So I'm just going to talk very quickly about the Mimic scaling, if I can find it down here. So it was on a 75-second cooldown, and they've reduced it to 40, which is a pretty significant reduction. So, I mean, in this wall of text of sadness for people who chronomance in raids,
right?
Even if they didn't play Chronomancer in raids, if they played this style of Chronomancer, it's a pretty big change, I think.
Right, right.
I had geared a Chronomancer up for raids for this type of play. It was probably out of date anyway, but I mean, certainly now as it's built, it's not going to be like, wah, wah. That said, I think... Now, it's secondhand, but we were talking with one of our guildies, Festy, who also raids with Spirit, and they were both, Festy said, Spirit said, of Relics of War, that they're not too worried about the change from their perspective for raiding, and they're just going to work around it. So I don't know how... I've seen some... concern, but I actually haven't seen as much of a blowout as I would have anticipated.
I wonder if because honest. Yeah, and I wonder too if as time goes by, you know, you kind of need these things to keep raids fresh. Like there's the scramble to figure out the new builds, and there's a little bit of that, like, you know, but for people who only raid or that's their main, you know, source of joy in gameplay. I think that there's an element of excitement in, like, the puzzle of figuring out a new way to get it done.
Yeah, maybe. And I also, so before I actually saw the patch notes, I did see, and I can't remember who tweeted out, and I'm very sorry, but it was just all in all caps, Mesmer obliterated. And I wasn't sure if this was someone who maybe had a really good PvP match and took down a Mesmer really quickly. like I wasn't like, then I read the patch and I was like, oh yeah, this is what they're talking about. But I also, now maybe there has been a huge outcry and it's just flown under the radar for me, but I also partly wonder if these summaries and preambles with the rationale behind them help staunch the wound a little
right,
bit.
Right. I think maybe it does. You know, it gives a little bit of an explanation justifying.
Like, you know, it's not, we hate you, we're taking away your toys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That there's a definite reason as to why they're making these changes.
Yeah, I am so glad they have the summaries back.
Right. All right, on to the Necromancer. In addition to updating several Necromancer traits that deal instant damage, we've also done a pass on the Soul Reaping specialization line. The Master tier traits were especially uneven, with most of the power concentrated in Vital Persistence. Spectral Mastery was removed due to how functionality overlapped with what spectral skills already did. And spectral skills themselves have received several enhancements to make them better as standalone utilities. Another important change was an update to Death Nova to give it additional minion summoning support. While we still need the 30-second timer to prevent large minion armies. I mean, why? Why prevent large minion armies? I mean, isn't that what we all want?
Sounds like a true necro.
We felt that the current trait could be doing more to give necromancers the feeling of being a minion master. Last but not least.
Did you say that with your hands up in the air?
Yes. Minion master! last but not least, we've changed abrasive grit in order to address its interaction with the rune of sanctuary in a way that doesn't involve an internal cooldown. So I need to check my traits, and I don't think this actually affects me very much. It would have affected my gameplay more like a year and a half ago. Like, okay. You know, and when I was, when I used soul reaping and those sorts of things. So, and I'm not a minion mancer, although I do enjoy, you know, a good minion.
I didn't expect that. I don't know why. Okay.
I think this is one of those things where, you know, when you have your build set one way for so long, you kind of forget, like, what exactly do I use? It's been a while since I've looked at it. So I didn't notice any difference really last night when I was playing. But again, there could be some changes that I'm just not aware of or I haven't really run across yet. Nothing major for my play style, which I am happy about that.
So you play the Path of Fire Elite spec, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm just going to skip back to Mesmer very, very quickly. This actually did not affect me at all because I, one, play base Mesmer, and two, it was the last balance patch that affected me way more than this one. That
right.
Doesn't mean I'm not sympathetic to people who don't, that do play these.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. And I feel like, you know, I play Scourge, but I do think that some of these, like the Reaper, like that, I feel like a couple balance patches back there was a one where they really buffed that one up because they wanted people to use it as a viable option instead of everybody being Scourges, and it was a really good buff, but now it seems like we gotta kind of figure some things out a little bit more.
For Ranger right now, spirits are playing an important role in our difficult endgame content but providing unique enhancements. When a trait is equipped with Nature's Vengeance, spirits also serve as a low-cost boon generator. In this update, we made select changes to Nature's Vengeance to reduce the boon output and to clean up the trait. Depending on how these changes work out, we may further adjust spirits in the future. Bring back movable. I loved it when they moved with you. Aww. Additionally, soul beasts are currently overperforming in competitive game modes, so we're lowering the power of some of these skills used of some of the skills used in their builds. We also took this opportunity to enhance a few of their weaker stances. So I can't add a whole lot to this. I don't really play Ranger an awful lot.
Me either.
I liked spirit builds at one point, but when they made them static and immovable, yeah. I was less intrigued.
Yeah. Yep, that's fair. I have not, like, my Ranger, I have one base Ranger and one Druid, but I still feel like I'm most comfortable with base, and I really don't know much of what I'm doing aside from that because it's been a while since I played it.
We should do an all Ranger party sometime.
We should. Bear bow. All right. moving on to Revenant. Since we removed the counter taunt from Eye for an Eye, we felt it was a good time to adjust some of the more passive traits in the Retribution line, like Steadfast, Rejuvenation, and Dwarven Battle Training. We also noticed that Heralds have been underperforming in some game modes since their rework, so we bumped up the numbers on their F2 skills, and we've reduced the recharge time for a few of the consumed skills in PvE.
So I don't play Revenant an awful lot, but I actually did note that I was less effective. So that's good to hear. And I was talking to you before the show that there was the tweet between Boots and Wooden Potatoes. And Guild Wars 2 had tweeted out that one of the traits was disabled.
Right.
Steadfast rejuvenation. So apparently they had talked out about that it was like crazy strong, like almost too strong. I don't know if it's still disabled.
Right.
It was disabled as of some time last night, I think.
Hmm. Interesting.
Right. Thief. When we changed Malice to no longer generate over time in an earlier update, we also carried over the portion of Death's Judgment that could not be blocked. However, now that it takes a shorter time to build Malice, we no longer feel like this benefit is necessary. Additionally, we've toned down the initial burst of damage that the thief can apply by removing the ability to stack lead attacks when outside of combat. We've also had the opportunity to update thief weapon traits to the new standard of having a baseline value in addition to the benefits while wielding that weapon. The biggest change here, I think, is the vault. So like there was, I can't remember how it went, but like vaults, the damage of the attack will no longer occur if the thief shadow steps after they've started the skill.
Right.
And I think that was like a very, from what I understand, because I've never been good enough to do this, but from what I understand, that is a very skillful move, but it is also incredibly OP.
Right.
If you can pull it off. So I think that's what's happening there.
I will trust your judgment.
I'm mostly regurgitating things I've read elsewhere.
Fair enough. All right. And then the warrior full counter has functionally different uses in competitive game modes when compared to PvE. So we further split this skill between game modes in order to emphasize this difference. We also cleaned up several weapons traits that were not included in the last update. Lastly, many warrior weapon traits now offer enhancements regardless of weapon while still providing additional bonuses when using specific weapons. So you play warrior much more than me.
Yeah, not a whole lot, but it was one of my mains for raiding.
Right.
So I'm sort of torn because I do like the fact that like, oh, I'll take this skill. Like if it's say for axes, while wielding axes, do this, and you can still get something even if you're not wielding axes.
Right.
But I kind of like that all or nothing.
Right.
Before, so I don't have firm opinions, but I kind of like that all or nothingness.
Right.
But then again, I am also completely firmly believe that Revenant should not have had weapon swapping. So who am I to say?
Yeah. Fair enough.
So that is it for the balance patch notes. Moving on to structured PvP, Legacy of the Foefire made slight adjustments to the waterfall capture point area to address an issue in which players could contest the point but were unable to be hit by melee attacks. Oh, that might have made me like that.
Right?
That map. And a version of the Mistforged Glorious Heroes chest armor without animated visual effects in combat has been added. Going forward, both skins will be unlocked when players buy the chest armor. If a player has already purchased the chest armor, they will be able to collect the skin from the vendor for free. That's really nice backwards compatibility.
Yeah, I like that.
Zero's disagreeing with me on the swapping weapons. It's a thematic thing, Zero. I loved the thematic. The continuity thematically that there's one light, one medium, and one heavy profession that did not swap weapons. And it bums me out that the Revenant hasn't.
Yeah, I think that's a fair critique.
But, I mean, I'm probably the only person on the face of the planet who thinks this way. The Black Lion Trading Company gem store, new items and promotions. The weather outside may be frightful, but this charming gecko is here to bring a little light into your life. It's got sticky toes, a plump tail, and intricate jewelry, plus the impressive ability to lick its own eyes. Invite it to your holiday parties for a surefire conversation starter. So we're talking, of course, about the Sun Temple Gecko Springer skin, and it's available in the style category for 2,000 gems, or if you open up a Black Lion chest, there is a chance to get it as an uncommon drop. And Yeah, it licks its own eye, and I love that animation.
Did you?
I didn't buy it.
Did you? Really?
No, but I do. Well, okay. So for the price of these things, you kind of have to be choosy. And I did buy the Halloween.
Right.
Griffin with the cat that has like two different appearances day or night, which I love. So this one, I love it. It's on the back burner.
Right. I sort of like it. I actually would like it more if it didn't have the
human hands.
No. Yeah, those are a little weird. No, the the kind of like feathered leafy whatever headpiece. I feel like that's because they're still using a Springer frame. Yeah,
that's skeleton.
There's a word for it though. There's a like game design word.
Rig.
Yeah. So I think they're using the rigging for the Springer, and that's why they have to have like something up top that's kind of like where the ears are with the little tuft of hair.
I'm not sure if that makes sense though, because they have the lop-eared buns.
That's true. I don't know. Anyway, I feel like it would look a lot more gecko-like if it had that bald head.
What I like about the, and I know it is the Sun Temple, but it reminds me very much of Guild Wars 1 Azura stuff.
Huh.
Which gecko had nothing to do with any of those things, but
just the style. I think
it's the style at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the eye licking, it's pretty great.
Top notch.
Every battle is a symphony with skins from our newest weapon collection. For a limited time, the new set of orchestral weapon skins is available from Black Lion Weapon Specialist for one Black Lion claim ticket. We know at least one person who bought all of these. And I insta-bought the staff / harp. Our Guildy Zero went on a Winter's Day spree and bought several of his guildies, some of these. So I also have, thanks to him, the scepter, which I love.
Yep.
They're pretty great. It was funny because I was oogling and ogling over them to my husband, and when you looked at them, you went, oh, the hammer. I'm like, that was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
The bongos. Although how many bongos are in an orchestra? I don't know. But it's still pretty great.
And it's kind of the reason I like that one is because there's the, you know, like there's the Easter egg of like it's an instrument, but it also like purely as from aesthetics, just looking like even if you like stand back a little bit and you look at it, kind of squint your eyes and imagine it's not a bongo. It's just the look, the coloring, the design. Like
it's not a bongo.
It's really, I don't know. Overall, I love the color scheme of all of these, and I just love the thoughtfulness for each of the pieces, and that they're not all the same. Like there would have been a way that I could have seen them making all of them some version of a flute or something like that, you know, just stretched out in different forms. But the fact that it's like an entire orchestra, it's pretty cool.
If I had to, actually, I think I completely missed looking at the war horn and the torch when I was going through, because I don't remember seeing that war horn's bonkers. I would say the only one what weapon is the dagger supposed to be?
Where is that? Do you mean like what instrument?
That's what I meant. Sorry. What weapon is the dagger supposed to be? Yeah, what instrument is the dagger supposed to be?
I feel like it's a piccolo. It's like a little or a little like wooden flute. Because you can see up at the top, it's got like a little thingy, and then it's got blow holes down the.
I would say that is probably the most meh to me, because it basically looks like the ascended weapons that you can craft.
Right.
The one that even the color scheme is very similar to, and I can't remember which attribute set it is, but jingle bell tambourine-y thing for the focus. Like these are
so cute.
So good. I love it a lot. They have draw and stow sounds, and there is a very slight musical notes that float off, and they're a good set.
They're beautiful. Like I would have been happy with the scepter if that had been the supposed scepter. Like they're so pretty. They're amazing. Love it.
Yeah. Moving on, for a limited time, the Frostforge Weapon Collection and Winter's Weapon Collection returns to the Black Lion Weapon Specialist for a reduced amount of Black Lion claim tickets. For a limited time, the Festive Hat returns to the style category for 150 gems. And this is one, I think this is pretty great. For a limited time, the Royal Terrace Pass returns to the utility category of the gem store for 650 gems, a discount of 35%. That is a really, really good buy. If anyone was interested in spending money on the gem store, that and you don't have one of the location passes, or how would you call that? Like the
special, like the access. So I don't remember the official name.
Yeah, the areas.
The area. Yep.
The Royal Terrace Pass, can't go wrong. That is 650 gems, bargain.
It really is. So, it's good stuff.
It's a good buy.
And I also want to note that the Festive Hat is available as well as for free. Alienware is running a promotion. So if you just Google Alienware and Guild Wars 2, it should pop up. It's a limited amount of keys that are available to redeem for the Festive Hat. So if you don't have that, as I did not an hour ago, now I do.
Lounges. That's what those other places are called. Thank you, Zero. As part of the Roller Beetle racing event for a limited time, the new mini Trailblazer Roller Beetle is available for free on the Gem Store in the style category. The matching Trailblazer Roller Beetle skin is available in the Desert Racer Mount Adoption License and the Desert Racer Mount Select License via the style category. Oh, I actually bought some of the lottery ones and I got all of the most bland options out of them.
That's right. I remember that.
I'm like, oh, well, it's my own fault for gambling.
All right, moving on to the Black Lion updates. The Black Lion chest has been updated to the Winter Wonders chest and can be previewed for a full list of its contents. The Evan Nashblade Winter's Day gift returns as the guaranteed item in the Winter Wonders chest. The new intimidating Iron Beast Greatsword is available as an uncommon drop for the duration of the Winter Wonders chest.
So I got that.
Did you?
So I bought keys.
Of course.
And I opened it and I got that one and I looked at it. And I'm like, oh, this is like one of those char weapons from early in the day. I didn't really think much of it. I thought maybe it was one of the returning items. And I didn't even think about it. And like Zero was going on. I'm like, oh, I really want, have you seen the weapon that they've added? I'm like, no, I haven't seen it at all. And he linked it. And I'm like,
oh, this thing.
Yeah, I got that.
The new Sun Temple Gecko Springer skin is also available as an uncommon drop, and the Desert King Throne is also an uncommon drop for the duration of this Winter's Wonders chest.
I want that one.
Yeah, that would be fun. The Glacial Weapon Collection and Winter's Day Weapon Collection are now available, also as uncommon and rare drops, respectively. And unused versions of the Glyph of Volatility and the Glyph of Scavenger are available as rare drops. I do not use either of those, so interesting.
Well, no, those are the what you put in your harvesting tools?
Right. I don't know which ones I have. I feel like I have the one that gives the watchwork picks, the watchwork sprockets picks. Yeah.
Yeah, I have that one too.
And then I think I have one that maybe the leather, like that gives extra leather. Is that right? Sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm, that's what I have then. The items available in exchange for Black Lion statuettes have been updated. Ooh, what do they have?
Oh my God. Gasp!
Black Lion statuettes are redeemable by using the statuette itself or by redeeming one at any of the Black Lion chest merchants located in every major city.
Or you can hoard them if you're like me.
Yes.
Because you're paralyzed with indecision.
Although I'm getting all excited, but then I'm remembering that I spent a bunch on festive town clothes kind of things.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, a new selection of baby minis has been added, and the exclusive Springer kit backpack skin, mini cozy Winter's Day mount pack, and Infinerarium glider have been added. Wait, mini cozy winter's day mounts. Oh, those are the minis. I was thinking that they had the mount skins for the, like, the cozy winter's day, whatever they were called, the ones that they had last year. Do you remember those for the mounts? Yeah.
The ones that are all bundled up. I actually feel like I should say mini cozy, mini winter's day, mini mounts, right? Mini pack. Like, just to make it very clear.
Right.
These are minis.
Additional items including Bram's heavy armor skin, Magitek medium armor skin, Phoenix light armor skin, crystalline dragon wing backpack glider combo, mini angry winter's day gift, festive hat, and gatherer tron tools have been added. I'm interested in the Phoenix armor skin. So
I have a bit of an issue with this, the statuettes.
Okay.
When you're looking at the list,
right,
and you're mousing over things, it does not tell you things you already have unlocked on your account.
Oh.
So I'm, one of the reasons I'm very afraid to use it is because I'm not sure, like, do I already have that for my home instance? Do it, like, and I could make a list, let's be honest. But most things in the game, if you have it unlocked on your account, you'll have the locked unlocked.
Right.
Kind of gray text, white text.
Right.
And this does not have that. So I'm always afraid I'm going to buy something I don't need, which you could put a support ticket in for, but that's like a hassle and I don't want to do that. So
is that something that you can really look on GW2 efficiency in?
Probably. Yeah. Oh yeah, you probably should. Well, wait, maybe for your home instance, if it's home instance nodes,
know if you can. That would be interesting to know.
The ones you could are the armor skins.
Right.
And minis and things like that. But yeah, for whatever reason in this view, they do not show you what's been unlocked on your account.
Right. For a limited time, the following categories of minis are available when using Black Lion miniature claim tickets. Many Merry Minis, Elementals, Crichton Humans, Norn, and Shiver Peaks. Black Lion miniature claim tickets are dropped from Black Lion chests. Keys for these chests can be found in the utility category of the gem store for 125 gems each. Now on to the late notes. So there were a couple things that were fixed. World Polish added the ability for players to see discovered location names inside Farner. Is that it? Okay.
Farner.
The first city on the Isle of Istin when they are outside of the first city story instance. I mean, I was losing sleep over this, so I'm certainly glad they stayed up late on
last night. Mush this and that sigil early on or whatever it was. You're very happy.
Oh,
about.
Yeah. Items added missing die slots for female Silvari characters on the heavy armor versions of the racing goggles. Now, see, that's a very important thing.
Why poor Silvari female ladies?
Right?
Why did they get so punished?
Not fair. And finally, for bug fixes, in the Black Lion Trading Company gem store, there was a bug that caused the size of Freezy's heart statue guild decoration to be more than 3 sizes too small. So I take this to mean it is now properly sized.
You can actually now, if I remember correctly, when you got it, it put it in a different spot than it could actually be seen from or something.
And Zero's also saying that before you couldn't actually make it, there were problems with it. So
okay,
now I will have to visit the guild. I'm assuming, Zero, you have been hard at work. Recipes for the superior rune of Snowfall and the superior sigil of Mischief have been added to the Winter's Day vendor.
Yay! On to default mail carrier. We also have some listener mail to read this week, which in our default mail carrier segment, we're actually not going to read them, but we had several people write in asking how we were doing and whether there was going to be a show soon. And there is, and
you're listening to it right now.
Right now, with right your now. Ears. Thanks so much for checking in on us.
Yeah.
It was when I would still read those emails coming in, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
we should probably do something about this. So thank you.
Yeah.
Finally, we like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, and other notable Guild War II happening, and propose a toast to their existence. The Toasts of Ascalon. Need a little fanfare after that.
Right.
It's time for the annual Christmas lottery on GW2 efficiency. And by time for, we're 12 days in.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Guild MM Trading Company, there are awesome prizes to be won each day. You can sign up for the last 4 days ahead of time, as these are the truly splendiferous prizes. Winners are notified in game. So if you go to gw2efficiency.com/community/lottery, it's amazing that they do this every year. I missed the first 2 weeks, or a week and a bit. It's pretty nice that people take the time to do this. If you are interested in donating prizes, they also have information there on who to contact.
Happy Winter's Day from the ArenaNet Creative Partners. Thanks to their artistic efforts, you can now represent your guild with 14 new guild emblems. Check out the artists and their designs below, and visit your local guild registrar to give your guild's banner a fresh look. So there were a number of artists.
Emblemer,
yes. there were a number of artists who contributed emblem designs. So Adam Isla. Adam Isilovic, Alexandre Kodu, Angelique Vidmi, Annalise On Hana, Cassandra Logan, Changer the Elder, Grace Sue, Cobalt, Pedget Box, Periger, Sale, this is embarrassing, Tearful Eyes, and Vosberg. Wanted to give a shout out. Even if I mispronounced your name, I apologize, but we wanted to give a shout out because these are amazing artists, and their designs are really, really fun.
I like the underpants.
Right. I think everybody's talking about the underpants, which belong to Vosberg. Nice. I love it too, because when you look at his artwork, like, he has such like amazing, intricate, beautiful, well-designed artwork, and then like guild emblem. Underpants. You know, it's underpants. Just like, yes.
These are great. If I had any interest in changing away from the Quaggan, these are beautiful.
They really are. Like the Choya is a lot of fun.
I love the Choya.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you know?
I mean, what else?
The Oreen is great.
Right, right. I think there's a lot of, I think more choices for people, the better, you know, so this is a great way to give some attention to these artists and also get some new assets into the game. So win-win. Moving on to the stats of Ascalon. Interior, 90% of statistics are made up every time, but that doesn't stop us from talking about them. It's time for Stats of Ascalon, and this week, I was poking around. This is not anything current or new or anything exciting terribly, but I was poking around in GW2 efficiency. I'm seeing a theme here, as we've mentioned them probably, I don't know, 4 times during this show. I was looking at their stats, and I was looking at the character races, and humans are by far the most popular race for characters among the GW2 efficiency population. How do we feel about this? I'm conflicted because Asura is second most popular, but like less than half as popular as humans. It's crazy how many humans there are.
And how many of those are females?
Right? Oh, yeah.
Because the human-female meta is a thing.
Oh, it's strong. Yeah, and females definitely outnumber male characters. But I'm curious, Alona, because you have a human main. Alona is human. And I wonder, do you think that that's a carryover from Guild Wars 1 and the player base there? Or do you think people just naturally gravitate towards humans?
Oh, that... Well, I can only speak for myself. Mm-hmm. My main being human is specifically a rollover from Guild Wars 1. because I made her as a descendant of my Guild Wars 1 character, my main, but I can't imagine that would account for that large of a difference. So Char is the least, yep, both in characters and playtime. And I do know a fair number of people played Guild Wars 1 that refused to make a Char.
Mm. I think that's just fair. Like, yeah, just
flat out, like, I can't do it. And I love the Char storyline. Like, they've done an amazing job with their storylines, like the early from core game.
Right. I mean, I wonder if, like, in Guild Wars 3, if suddenly you had, like, Krait as a player character, you know, do you feel like that's equitable with, like, the Char, the transformation of the Char story, or, like, the embiggening of the Char story? Or do you think that Krait are so far gone that there is no hope for them?
Krait are bad, y'all. So it's different. Like, and they certainly, they even, I would say that they planted the seeds for the reformation, right, or the
redemption of Char. Yeah.
The redemption of Char. Like, because they certainly did, I think they actually did a really good job of explaining why. To this day, however, whenever it says Ascalon, go to Ascalon for dailies.
Right.
Or for Krita for dailies. Or, like, I always think of Ascalon as human lands.
Oh, really?
Like, 6 years later, I still have a huge problem with it mentally.
Mm.
Their story is great. I actually really like Char now, but I still have a hard time. And I know a lot of people that I played Guild Wars 1 with just won't do it.
Right. So obviously I main in Azura, but I find it interesting that so many people choose human, at least from my point of view. Like, I get to be a human all day. I don't get to be, you know, an Azura or a Silvari. And so that to me is a lot of the appeal. Is I like, you know, there's different parts of it. Like, there's the dress up part of, like, getting to dress up a human. That's really fun.
It's the Barbie doll.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. Definitely.
The fashion plates.
Yes.
I was actually a little surprised Norn were as low as they were. Like,
hmm.
But they're all really good in their own.
They are.
You know, they're very different and they're all very good. I would actually say humans probably have the least interesting personal story.
Yeah, I think that's.
But still good.
Right. And I find it very interesting that, I mean, and it's important to note that these statistics are not across the entire player base. These are statistics across across whoever's logged into efficiency. So there, you know, that can be skewing statistics as well, which would be interesting to kind of parse out. But I think that what's interesting is that the Silvari, Asurin, and Norm are, like, almost statistically even across the board. So it's interesting that people are kind of, you know, divided amongst those, but then it's like humans to rule us all. I wonder if, since this is not just like your main, I wonder if, like, I would be interested in seeing the breakdown of, like, what character people play on. I know there's the, like, playtime, but also, yeah, I guess maybe playtime shows it, but I'm thinking more like human. I'm making a key farmer, or I'm, you know, like, that's got to be a factor, right?
Right, because that is the main key farming is human guardian.
Right.
You're right.
So I could see, like, I've got a Silvari and a human. I've got a Sura and a human. Everybody's got a human.
Up to level 10 at least.
Yep.
I would actually really like it if these sorts of stats were available not just from GW2 efficiency, but from Guild Wars themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just and maybe there is. I haven't, to be honest, I haven't been, maybe there is a place on the forums or on the Guild Wars 2 website that has this sort of stuff just ongoing. But it would be really great to, like, just have a few things.
Mm-hmm.
There, and you could, just for fun, because I don't know, I like looking at those sorts of things. Maybe it's too much effort for reward for them to create it. And that is it. That is the show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can contact right. Hashtag on Twitter at hash the tag. So HAASH the tag, or SIGG.1735 in game. You can engage Alona at one big pair, PEAR, or in game at 1bpair.1249. If you ever whisper me and I don't respond, chances are I'm away from my computer in a fight and I've just missed it.
Yep.
Because if I see it, I will respond.
Yes.
I swear. You can email us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com. You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com. Grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app, or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, with Spotify coming soon by special request.
Ooh.
Yes, we got a, I think someone tweeted us, so like, hey, can you get on Spotify? I'm like, I will try. We'll see what I can do. And don't forget, we live stream the show every 3 months or so at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on blank because hashtag and I didn't confirm that before we started the show.
Sometime in January.
After
the holidays.
Sometime.
Yeah.
We may do a stream of potentially Winter's Day Fun or Guild Wars 1. Mm-hmm. I have not actually talked to hashtag about this. I'm springing this on her now. So
sounds good.
Surprise. Good show, hashtag.
Thank you.
And to everyone listening, we hope you all have a very merry Winter's Day.
Hear, hear.
Have a merry winter day. Oh my God. This might surprise you, but the stats for players choosing humans in Guild Wars 1 is 100%. I was shocked. It's amazing. Love it.